wind down this doctrine of Sarah's daughters. Roman numeral 9, page 5 of our notes, in summary, in regards to the doctrine. Even as Abraham is the father of us all in terms of the salvation adjustment to the justice of God, that is the pattern that we are to emulate, follow, so are royal ladies who make the maturity adjustments to the justice of God become Sarah's daughters. As believers in Christ, we are indeed royalty. We are a priesthood individually. All this rigmarole of priests and things you see out there in the religious world as if they're the only priest. No, every believer is a priest. Obviously, most believers don't act like it, but they are. And we are a royalty based on our relationship with the person of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Abraham in the Old Testament, he becomes the pattern, the example in regards to salvation. A saving faith has been the same throughout history, as well as rebound and maturity. The roles, the issue has been and always will you exercise faith in Jesus Christ to gain a pass into heaven? And then will you take advantage of that, benefit from that, and experientially plug in and fulfill God's plan for your life experientially? And in that way, glorify God and Jesus Christ to the maximum. And it's God's plan, not ours, not mine. And we're not here to give you our ideas or our opinions. We're here to teach Bible doctrine. This is what the Bible says. If you don't like it, that's fine. Most people don't. Oh, they like bits and pieces of it. We abstain from trying to formulate our own plan. We look at God's plan, and that is what we are to follow. Abraham is the pattern for saving faith. Romans 4, 11, 12, and 16. And he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision, that which we just went over, which teaches the isolation of the sin nature. The foreskin of the male phallus is not worth anything. And to have it removed denotes the victory over the sin nature through Christ's work on the cross and then experientially through rebound. It's a seal of the righteousness of the faith, continuing verse 11, which he had while uncircumcised. Now there are those at that time, that taught that the Judaizers taught that you not only had to believe in Christ, but you had to be circumcised and keep the law. And Paul's using here as an argument, well, really? Abraham came to saving faith when he was uncircumcised. So if it's about ritual, you're wrong, see? So that's the idea here. That he might be the father of all, that's our example, who believe without being circumcised. It doesn't make any difference who you are, what genetic race you're from, anything of this nature, color of your skin, economic status, male, female, whatever. None of these things are an issue. The issue is, do you believe in Christ? Without being circumcised, that righteousness might be reckoned to them. And the righteousness is, again, this is where a lot of believers fail to understand. Righteousness to God. In order to appease his righteousness, that righteousness must be perfect. It must be absolute, if you will. We put a plus in front of the righteousness sign, plus R, in regards to God. God is perfect. He always has been. He always will be. He'll never be anything less than. And he, being absolute light, which reflects his absolute righteousness, is picky about who he has associations with, contrary to a lot of men. And you must possess that absolute righteousness in order to have a relationship with him. Jesus Christ, there's no way that we could ever gain that on our own. Because we come into this world, we're already judged. Because of our flesh, we have a sin nature. And wherever that body of sin nature exists, it is a target of judgment, and the penalty is death, both spiritually as well as physical death that follows to denote the spiritual death. But Jesus Christ, He was given to us as an alternative, as a substitute, in regards to the fact that we can't get that righteousness, but through Him we can have that righteousness, see, and it's absolute. To get into heaven is not a matter of relative righteousness. Well, okay, I did a couple of bad things here, I'll do a bunch of good things here to offset it. No, it's got to be absolute. And that's why Jesus Christ provided. He was sinless, see. And yet He sacrificed His own person with absolute righteousness on behalf of the rest of mankind. Hence why getting into heaven is a system of faith apart from works. And then also it must be understood in regards to our Christian experience. What God accepts and what He doesn't accept in regards to our actions. That's why you have to have rebound, again, made possible through His work on the cross. Have the forgiveness experientially, so you're filled with God, the Holy Spirit, your human spirit's functioning as designed to do by being a believer. And you're operating then in the sphere of God's absolute righteousness, see. And that coupled with the application of Bible doctrine in that respect, then it's action with honor versus action without honor. So the righteousness here that Abraham was given by God is absolute. Just one of those things that you like to clear the air when you have opportunity for individuals. So that they can see that truly, as it says in the Old Testament, our righteousness to God is as menstrual rags. Because it's relative, it falls completely and totally short of His perfect righteousness. See. Also verse 12 here. And the father of circumcision, those who are not only are of the circumcision, that being the Jewish race, the Hebrew race, but also who follow in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised, the Gentiles. The Gentile race. And then verse 16, for this reason it is by faith that it might be in accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, the Mosaic law, but also those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Okay. He's the father of the Jewish race. He's a racial father in that regards, but he's a spiritual father for every individual who believes in Jesus Christ otherwise. So you can be a racial Jew, you can be a spiritual Jew, or you can be both. And again, 1 Peter 3:6, in regards to becoming Sarah's daughter. B, Sarah's daughters are a very elite group. It's based on the woman's positive volition, the desire to seek and know God and apply His plan in their life. And it will have special recognition and privilege forever. You can rest assured that one who, a female who attains Sarah's daughter and holds to the end, will be recognized as such for all eternity. Now, look around eternity and say, well, look at these who were able to do this under grace. What's everybody else's excuse? Obviously, everybody with the realm of doctrine at that point in time will completely and clearly understand these things and these issues. So, you want to be unique in regards to the human race, well, plug in with doctrine and you'll find yourself in probably one of the most unique categories known to man. The unique category known to man. See, the key is being so recognized. The key to being so recognized is spiritual growth. Eventuating the implementation of the role imperative to obey your husbands, including mental attitude recognition of his lordship. We saw Colossians 3:18, Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, versus as is fitting in the Lord. Both are of equal, similar expectation. And then 1 Peter again 3:6. D, ladies with negative husbands also are candidates for this distinction, provided they are obedient, even if right man is unfair. Say, well, what if I never get married? Well, if God's plan is for me to be a single female, what then? I don't know. I don't make up stuff. I don't know. But obviously, if you hold to the end, the glory and prestige that will come upon you in your SG3 will not be disappointing whatsoever. Other qualities distinguish between one of Sarah's daughters, that is, besides being obedient to the right man, include a gentle and quiet disposition. My mind goes faster than my mouth, I guess. But sometimes my mouth probably speaks what my mind shouldn't be thinking. But anyway, 1 Peter 3:4, figure that one out. And high level of divine good production, 1 Timothy 2:10. Verse 9, likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with appropriate clothing, modestly and with good taste. And, you know, you don't have to have your whole body painted. Every orifice in your body has been plugged with some jewel. New orifices created to do it. You know, all these other things you see out there in the world. With good taste, not with elaborate hairstyles. That's the idea there. You don't spend hours and hours and half your savings just to get your hair done. You know, the extremes that people go to. Do things in moderation. In gold or pearls or costly garments. Again, it's not saying you can't wear jewelry. You know, people take this out of whack. In regards to the custom, you've got to understand the time in which these things were written and what the customs of people were. And to, you know, to always look like Zsa Zsa Gabor, or you don't want to now, but anyway, it used to be in my age. I date myself, but you know, ladled down with every piece of jewelry they can find all the time. That's just ridiculous. That detracts really from the beauty of the person. Often, a nice piece of jewelry really can set a person off, but you go beyond, it just kind of kills it. But that's my own opinion, but not the Lord's. I'd do a Paul on you there. By means of good works, divine good production, as befits women making claim to godliness. Until a woman has these inner qualities, she is not properly dressed spiritually, that is, in the soul, to be in Sarah's company. You got to acquire it and put it on. Just as you put on the new man, your clothing attire, spiritual clothing attire, will conform to the godliness code expected. G, coupled with the appropriate dress and grooming, these qualities all add up to a biblical decorum for the spiritually mature lady. All right. Now we'll get back into the text.